December the 31st, Happy New Year to everyone. Already Happy New Year here, and just about to tick over on the East Coast in America, I think. So have a good night, everyone, and a good 2025. We are going to look at all six games, the sixth game just about to wrap up, but I couldn't be bothered waiting any longer. This is the Tuesday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Please go and like, subscribe, download, all of that stuff. We are part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Six games to round out the 2024 portion of the season. And we had some ugly ones. We had a couple of decent games. It was an interesting night. Let's get into said games. First game of the night, the Bucks and the Pacers. We had some early starts. Obviously, that's usually the case on New Year's Eve. The Bucks get the win over Indiana. It was close. Ish, I suppose the Pacers sort of kept with them, but the Bucks end up winning 120 to 112. For the Bucks, Giannis looked fine, 30, 12, and 5, 2 steals, continues his very, very good season. Lillard was poor in this one, 9 points with 5 assists, 2 steals. Just a bad night. He'd been very good prior to this, and he's still working his way back from an illness slash injury, so he will be fine. Brooke Lopez, the 16 points look pretty good, but 0 blocks, 5 rebounds. He's a hold, obviously, but has been overall pretty disappointing. Middleton, with Giannis back, with Dame playing expectedly, he scaled back his production slightly. Still a good night, 15, 7 assists, 6 rebounds. This is more like what we should expect from him moving forward, I think. Bobby Portis was good. He had a double-double, 14 and 15 off the bench with 2 steals. That's really about it for the Bucks. For the Pacers, Benedict Mathurin hit some shots again, so we add him until he cools off. Siakam had just a Siakam night, 5 of 8 from the line, not ideal. He had been better than that, though, so he'll be fine. Miles Turner had 16 and 10 with a block. The 10 rebounds are nice for Miles Turner. We don't often get double-digit rebounds, but a couple more blocks would have been nice. Tyrese Halliburton, I don't know, is this a good game? Not really. 12 points. Everything else is fine. 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 blocks, 1 steal. But just that shooting, it's a bit up and down. He's generally been better, so this is okay. Nembhard, who has been good, and I've talked about the fact that he probably shouldn't be a must-roster player, but has been. This is more like what I think we should get from Andrew Nembhard, 10 points, 3 assists. I'd hold for another game or two, but I wouldn't expect him to be a must-roster player the rest of the season. Jarris Walker had 11 off the bench. He's looked okay, but Obi Toppin is working his way back from an injury, so I think he will he'll scale up his minutes a little bit, get closer to 20. Neither of them are must roster players though. TJ McConnell, with the Pacers having a relatively healthy backcourt at the moment, he is being limited a little bit, only 16 minutes. He did have 5 assists and 2 steals, so if you're still streaming him in, that's not the worst night. Toronto at Boston, speaking of worst, Raptors were absolute garbage in this. They had 12 points in the first quarter. They missed their first 14 three-pointers, I want to say. Any positives Scotty Barnes, I guess, he had 16 and 13 with two steals. Jakob Poeltl had 13 rebounds. I don't know. I don't really want to take anything out of this box score, to be honest. On either side, the minutes were up. Look, it's good to see Bruce Brown back in there. I don't think we need to be adding him anywhere. No RJ Barrett, no Emmanuel Quickley, no Grady Dick, and they were just blown off the court. And look, honestly, Boston didn't even play that well, and they won by 50. What was the final score? 125 to 71. So a 54-point victory in a game where I thought Boston were average. It says a lot about, well, more about Toronto, I think, than Boston. For the Celtics, again, we're not really taking anything out of this one. Horford continues to be pretty stinky. He had 0 points. I don't think we need to be holding him anywhere. When Porzingis doesn't play, he's viable, but as we've seen, he is well past his prime at this point. Peyton Pritchard, he started this game red hot, 19 points. It didn't really do much in the second half because they just didn't play anyone in the second half. So I'm not even going to talk about them at all. I'm going to go to the next game, which was another blowout. Clippers and the Spurs. Spurs get the win, 122-86. Was never really close. So again, not a ton to take away here. Norm Powell still firing up his shots. He had 2 steals and 15 points. I don't know, Dunn had a steal. Again, I'm not really going to talk about them at all. I'm just forget this game ever happened. For the Spurs, Wemby was good, unsurprisingly. 27 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks. Sohan left this game with a back injury. They didn't need him. Could have been precautionary to some degree. Keep an eye on the injury report, though. If he misses time, they could go a few different ways. They could move Harrison Barnes up to the 4 and bring in Keldon Johnson and sort of play him as a makeshift 3-4. They could bring Julian Champagne back in if they want some more scoring. So they could go a couple of ways here. If Sohan is out, I would maybe you want to have a look at Champagne. Maybe Keldon Johnson. He's just a points guy, but he had 17 of them here. He has been okay. They'd be the two that I would probably look at as beneficiaries. Devin Vassell, not his best night. 8 points, 3 steals. His shot's just not there yet, but I think he'll be okay. Not hitting those heights that I still think he'll be a good player. But this, obviously the makeup of this Spurs roster is a lot better than it was 12 months ago, but I still think he'll be a good player and he's clearly being prioritized now. So, I do think he will be okay. All right, next game. Minnesota at OKC. This was a pretty good game. Minnesota were sort of hanging with them. OKC blew this open in the second half and end up winning the game 113 to 105. It did get close down the stretch, so we saw heavy minutes for the main guys. Let's start with Minnesota. Jaden McDaniels, very up and down, not a hold. Julius Randle, it's not fun watching him. He had 11 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. Those counting stats are usually pretty good. One block is nice from him, but this offense is so frustrating to watch at the moment. Rudy Gobert basically just doesn't touch the ball. His buckets really just come from offensive rebounds and occasionally they hit him cutting to the basket. But he's not being utilized at all. Anthony Edwards, I'm still not sold on him. I know he's very good, but it's, again, more of a personal choice. We had a Mike Conley sighting. That was exciting. 16 points, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 4 threes for Mike Conley. So if you had forgotten to drop him or been holding him in a deeper league, this is nice. I have him in a 14-team league. I'll probably hold him. This probably buys him another two games, three games maybe. The waiver wires are just, they're so thin in those deeper leagues that finding someone comparable to what Mike Conley can do is tough. But again, if you're going to stream that spot, then you probably get more value. DiVincenzo, who had been playing really well, 10 points, 5 assists in this one, but the minutes are still encouraging, 30 minutes. So I would be holding him. And Naz Reid popped off for 19 points with 8 rebounds, 3 blocks. One of his better games, which is nice to see. For the Thunder, Jalen Williams. Look, he shot better here, 6 of 12, but his offense is still a little bit short of the mark, let's say. He had 14 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, and a 3. 1 of 4 from the line. And that's what I'm talking about. This shoot, just a bit of maybe the yips on offense. He'll be better. He'll be fine. Lou Dort had 14, 6, and 2. He's fine. Of all of their streaming guys, he is probably at the top of the list. I talked about this with Dan on his show this morning, just because he is playing the minutes. Hartenstein had 15 and 10 with 2 blocks and a steal. Continues to be very impactful for this Thunder team. Shea was fantastic. Kayson Wallace had 4 steals, so he remains a nice steals streamer. And then it's just take your pick on any given night with the bench guys, AJ Mitchell, Kenrich Williams, Aaron Wiggins, Isaiah Joe, and tonight it was none of them. Cleveland at LA. Cleveland, another win. They end the month 13-1, I believe. Lakers, they stuck with them and at least made it interesting, at least meant that the big names had to stay on the court. They end up winning this one 122-110. But I thought, I thought the Lakers looked okay. It was their first game with Dorian Finney-Smith and Shake Milton in the lineup, but we'll talk about them shortly. Let's start with the Cavs. And look, honestly, as always, there's very little to talk about with Cleveland because they're healthy and they're playing well. So we rostered the big four. LeVert has been my preferred streaming option. Strus was certainly better than him in this one and looked... He looked the best he's looked since returning, which is only a very small sample size. So if you want to take a chance on Strus, if you need threes, then if he's going to be 25 plus minutes, he's probably one of the better streaming 3-point streaming targets, just because he is proven. We know he can do it. He was very good at the start of last year. So. Yeah, I don't mind taking a little bit of a flyer on him. For the Lakers, LeBron was good. AD was good. Reeves is playing out of his mind at the moment. 35, 9, and 10 with a steal, which we love to see. He's going to need to do this if the Lakers want to be competitive this season. Max Christie, not his best night. 5 points with a steal. If you've got him in deeper leagues, I would hold for another game or two. The upside is pretty limited. He's really just a 3-and-D option. With the roster looking a little bit deeper now with Finney-Smith and Shake Milton, it highlights to me how bad Rui Hachimura is. He's not a great player. I think they need to get Finney-Smith into that starting lineup. I don't know if that's the plan, and I don't know if it would be Hachimura or Max Christie who would move to the bench. I would hope it's Hachimura. I think he's better off the bench as a scorer with Finney-Smith starting. We'll see. Finney-Smith had 2 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists in 20 minutes. We're not adding him, obviously. We're not adding Shake Milton, who had 6 points in his 10 minutes. They will be better than this. They only got into team activities yesterday or something. So very new to everything. Dalton Connect sucked again, 4 points, not rostering him. anywhere. And now let me just see while I set this up. This game surely has finished. Yes, it has. Memphis get the win over over the Suns as I get it to the right page. There we go. All right. So Memphis 117, Phoenix 112. We'll start with Memphis. Desmond Bane, I guess he's back. 31 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. That buy low opportunity is well and truly gone. Jaren Jackson, phenomenal. Again, 38 points, 11 rebounds. This was against Mason Plumlee, so make of that what you will. John Conchar, we know what he does when he plays big minutes. He gets rebounds. He gets some defensive stats. He doesn't score a lot, and that's exactly what he did here. I think I picked him up in two leagues for that very reason. Scottie Pippen, only 22 minutes, just didn't have a good night here. They went with Luke Kennard down the stretch. I do like Luke Kennard. I think he's a little bit untapped in terms of what he can do. If I sort of want him to move somewhere where he can play as a regular sixth man and play minutes like this consistently, because I think he has some assists upside. He's obviously a very, very good three-point shooter. He had 17, 7, and 4 with 2 steals, 3 threes, perfect from the line. Do we add him? You could. I do think that this is more of an outlier because Scottie Pippen only played 22 minutes. Conchar I would be adding, I think, because Laravia is week to week. Ja Morant is week to week. Aldama is week to week. So there could be a few games here for Conchar and maybe Luke Kennard as well. So some interesting value there in Memphis, as there always seems to be. In Phoenix, they just can't take a trick, this team. Bradley Beal played 12 minutes. He was forced from the game with a hip injury. No word on the severity yet. But it's always one of the big three that's injured. Devin Booker returned, shot 4 of 20. So congratulations on losing field goal percentage this week, probably. 16 points, 9 assists. So he'll be fine. First game back, coming off an injury. So he will be, as I said, absolutely fine. Tyus Jones had 21 points, only 2 assists and 5 turnovers. That's very rare for Tyus Jones. He did have 3 steals as well. Continues to be a must-roster player, as is Mason Plumlee for one more game. Nurkic will be back next week. The Suns do only have one more game this week. They're the only team with 2 games. So do keep that in mind if you streamed Plumlee in today. He only has one more in the next, Wednesday, Thursday, 5 days, I think. So, yeah, you're probably going to get, if you can just stream, I don't think you need to be holding on to him. Ryan Dunn was interesting here. 8 points, 9 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks. This is what what we know about Dunn, is that he's a good defensive player. And he did that tonight. He rebounded the ball well. Royce O'Neal was out. So Josh Okogie was a stream target. He played 28 minutes. He just didn't do much with it. He had 9 points. They just went with Dunn a bit more in this one. Tough to get a read if O'Neal is out in the next one. But if Beal is out as well, then Dunn would probably move into the starting lineup. But anyway, both Dunn and Okogie would be interesting stream targets in the next game, I think. All right, let's have a look at some questions very quickly. Happy New Year, Lone Dez. Thank you. Chad, can't win with streaming. Yep, it's tough out there, isn't it? Went with Castleton with Laravia out, and they went with Conchar. Yeah, I'm sort of not surprised. Conchar does do this. Okogie with the Royce injury. That was fair. Like I said, I thought Okogie was the preferred target here, but you also had Dunn in your lineup, so that's okay. Yes, it was nice being on Dan's show. It was pretty impromptu. I just saw that he was doing a mailbag show, and so I messaged him and just said, do you want a guest? And he said, I absolutely want a guest. So that was fun. It was a way to waste 1 hour this morning. Is Halliburton still a top 15 guy? Is he even still a superstar in real life? Is he a top 15 fantasy player? I think so. I think. I don't think I'd have him as a first rounder now. I think a few players have jumped ahead of him, but I think he's still in that top end of the second round. Is he a superstar in real life? I don't know. I'm not sure he ever was a superstar playing in a low on a smaller market team like Indiana. I don't know. He's still very good. I do think last season was a lot of things went right for Indiana. But they are starting to look a little bit better. Obviously not tonight, but he's still a very good elite point guard, I think. Who are we looking at here? Vassell and Middleton. That's fine if you want to think that. I would still much rather have Vassell over Middleton. That's me. But we're all entitled to our own opinions, obviously. Middleton has looked good. He's looked better than I thought he would. But like he saw tonight, he had, 15, 7, and 7. I think that's probably what we get from him moving forward. And Vassell is... He has been inconsistent and yes, has not been as good as Middleton. So you're certainly within your rights to think that. But I like to stay positive, and I still think Vassell is probably the better option. Al Horford is 2 of 19 the last two games. Yeah, poor Al. He's getting on a bit, isn't he? Josh says that Trey Murphy and Josh Giddey are sell highs. Look, they can. I mean, you can always view someone that's playing well as a sell high. And if the Pelicans do get Zion back, if they do get Brandon Ingram back, Alvarado's coming back, then yes, Trey Murphy probably is. But that's based on how they were using Murphy, because he was coming off the bench. If they decide to just start him rest of season, then his value is probably a little bit more assured. But you could certainly view him as a sell high. Josh Giddey, he's been playing well. But again, Josh and I are different in terms of I tend to not be as down on some players and try not to move off them. And sometimes that's to my detriment, to be honest, because I hold players a little bit too long. Are we adding Champagne with Sohan out? Take a flyer. Yep. If the Raptors lose badly to the Nets tomorrow, does Darko have a job? They've been pretty rough. I'd like to think he does, because this is a pretty clear-cut situation where it is not the cut. Well, I mean, you could say that about Sacramento as well, but the Raptors have had so many injuries and it's such a disrupted start to the season that I would like to think that they would not put the blame on Darko. This would just be much like Memphis last year, just injuries, bad luck, circumstances. And let's see how it plays out once they're healthy. My entire team forgot how to shoot today or was sad. Well, we were all sad. Should I try to get Harden? Would have to give up Trey and Hartenstein or Ayton, maybe all three. You could get Harden. He's probably top 20 player. I wouldn't give up three players to get him, though, I don't think. Is Shea leading for you in the MVP race? It's close. I think I'd have him, Jokic. It's not going to be Luka, not with the injuries. Giannis is probably in that discussion as well. I don't think it'll be Tatum. As well as Cleveland have played, I don't think there's an MVP candidate in that team because they're all playing well. So I think it's probably Shea, Jokic, Giannis. And I think it could be AD. If the Lakers could somehow make a push and get into like the top five or four on the back of Anthony Davis. I know LeBron's there, but AD to me is clearly the gauge for that team in terms of their performances. So I don't think he's going to get there, but I do like Anthony Davis. And I mean, the dark horse is obviously Wemby. I don't think the Spurs will be good enough for him to get it, but they are above 500 now, I think. I think they're 18 and 17 or something like that. And they've certainly been better than we thought that they would be. I thought they'd be borderline play-in. And at the moment they are, they're 17 and 16. So they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So they're ninth in the West at the moment. So they're in that play-in discussion. Probably just above where I thought they would be. I thought they'd be around 12, 11. But it's tight there. Like Minnesota are only just ahead of them. Golden State are just behind them. The Lakers are just ahead of them. So there's certainly scope for them to finish 7th, 8th, maybe up to 6th. But it will depend on the back end of the season. It wouldn't be surprising if they fall off a little bit. Where are we? Zion. Contract stipulations, has to play minimum games to get paid. Trade or shut down. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where the Pelicans are on Zion. He also has a clause in his there's some clause in his contract where he can be traded. He can be waived and not paid out. So there is, and I think he may, whatever that is, that they're at that position now where they can basically just offload him at the end of the year and they don't have to pay him out. So if they just decide to cut bait and hit reset, then they can, and they don't lose. Obviously, you lose the talent of Zion, but you don't financially, you are not at a loss and it frees up a lot of money. And it probably depends on their record. If they get the worst record, they'll obviously be in that discussion for Cooper Flagg, which is someone that a team would maybe look to build around. And as for Ingram, I mean, he's been on the trade block seemingly forever. So, we don't know what's going to happen with him. I think for both of them, it would be good if he was moved. And Vassell, we've talked about him. What are the chances Chet sits for the rest, during the fantasy playoffs? Absolutely. I think he might. They want him healthy for the playoffs. That's it. They do want him back, I think, before the real-life playoffs because he and Hartenstein have not played together. So they do need to get some chemistry going there on the court. So I certainly do think he comes back, but he's not going to be pushed hard at all. Yes, Dean Wade. You did, yeah, that's chasing, isn't it? He was good yesterday and he was trash today. Could I pull off a DeMar for Austin Reeves trade? So getting Austin Reeves back for DeMar. You could try. Is it worth it? I think they're probably comparable. Austin Reeves is playing much better. It's going to be hard to do it now because they're at different ends of that trade spectrum. Reeves is a sell high and DeMar DeRozan is a buy low. So I'm not sure whoever has Reeves would be looking for more than DeRozan at this point. But it's worth a try. I think it's fair. I think it's a fine offer. 28.6% for Shining Knights squad today. That is a big oof. Started 0 of 10, but you have Shea on your team. Well done. Shea helps everything, doesn't he? Who's the better Memphis stream option, Pippen Jr. or Conchar, or one of the other 50 bench guys? I think Conchar is safer because, as we saw today, what he brings to the team, they don't really get from anyone else. So I think he is a bit safer. Pippen has slightly higher upside. Kennard would be the other one I'd look at there. As we saw tonight, if he plays good minutes, he can get you points, threes, some assists. So I think of the three of them, it's probably Conchar, as long as you're not looking for points. If you're looking for rebounds, some assists, defensive stats, Pippen if you need assists and steals, and then Kennard if you need points and threes. So they're all a little bit different, but I think all worth a look at the moment. Ryan Dunn getting a chance to do more with O'Neal and Beal out. Look, we can certainly watch him. I mean, he's had a pretty significant role on and off this season and hasn't done a lot with it, so I don't really see anything changing. Tonight was interesting, but I'd need to see more of it before making him a must-roster player. Is Triple J a sleeper for MVP? I don't think so, but he has been very good. I mean, Memphis would have to finish pretty high up, and I just think because they've got Jar on the team, I know he hasn't played a lot. Where are they sitting at the moment? They're like second or third, aren't they, in the West? Yeah, they're second in the West. So, I mean, if they finish top three, top four in the West, I mean, he'll be in the discussion, but I don't think anyone's giving it to him or Şengün, but Şengün has been really good as well. Yeah, I just don't see either of them really, really forcing the issue. Is Reeves someone to trade for, or is this just a hot stretch? It's a bit of both, I think. Now that D'Lo is gone, he'd have to be second playmaker. Yeah, look, we talked about this when we did a bit of a trade recap. I do think that they are going to put the ball in Reeves' hands a little bit more and stagger him with LeBron, which certainly helps him. He's not going to be as good as he's been the last two games, but I do think that he will be, I don't know, what are we looking at for averages? 20 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists and a steal, which is pretty good. And then he'll have these games where, because LeBron is not going to play every game. So that will be probably his floor, and then which is top 60-ish, top 65, and then he'll be push up into top 40 for periods as well. So with Chet out, that is good for Hartenstein. Yeah, it is. I'm not moving Hartenstein anywhere. I had him as a top 50 player coming into the season, so nothing's changed for me. it does. So Chad doesn't want you to do that trade because it sounds depressing to say that DeRozan might not be worth Austin Reeves. It does sound depressing, but yeah. Should I try Ayton for Reeves? Yeah, you could do that. Yep, I'd be A-okay with that. Reeves has more upside. He does. Sacramento, honestly, I'm not touching anyone in Sacramento at the moment until we get some clarity on the rotation, the coaching. The Keegan Murray is doubtful tomorrow, so he might just be doubtful because he's had enough and doesn't want to play anymore. But unless they make some changes here, I just think that DeRozan, Keegan Murray are just going to be somewhat limited because everyone on the team needs the ball in their hands. And did I have iHeart? No, category leagues. Points leagues are a bit different. In category leagues, I'm not in any points leagues. So for points leagues, Hartenstein is probably a little bit lower, I think. I don't think I would have him top 5th. Well, I wouldn't have had him top 50 coming into the season. Could his performance be effort related with all of the drama? Is that, I assume you mean DeMar DeRozan there. Yes, it could be. You mean about Keegan? It could be a little bit. You'd hope not. But if you watch him play, they just throw him in the corner. He doesn't do anything. He just stands there. They don't put him in an opportunity to create his own shot. And he's just being wasted out there. That's why I would love to see him come off the bench. Just play him as the sixth man, play him 32 minutes. I can almost guarantee if the coaching staff went to Keegan Murray and said, would you be happy to come off the bench as our sixth man, get the ball in his hands a lot more, look for and just initiate offense, he would absolutely do that. Not like DeMar DeRozan, who apparently didn't want to do that. I think Keegan would do that, and I think they should do that. But I'm not the coach, so I don't know. That'll do for today's show. Let me take this comment off the screen. That looks better. Now, Happy New Year. So the clock has just ticked over to midnight, I believe, on the eastern side of the US, another few hours on the West Coast. I should be doing a pregame show tomorrow. I am back to work tomorrow. It's a sad day here in my house. My wife and I are both back to work, but I will be working from home, so I should be able to still do a show in the morning. And I don't have school and stuff. My kids are still off for another month, so don't have to worry about them. So there will be a pregame show tomorrow. We have how many games tomorrow? I know it's a good schedule this week, so we've probably got 7 or 8 or something. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games tomorrow. No early starts. So, yes, it will be business as usual with a pre-game show and post-game show. But thank you again for listening. Please go and download. Please go and like and subscribe and do all of that stuff. Also, head over to, I think I've tweeted it out, Dan and I will be doing a trade deadline show, as I've talked about, in a bit over a month. And I think he wants to get 1,000 pre-likes, which I think means you just have to go to YouTube and hit the thumb. I did that, and I think that's what he means. So if you have 15 seconds to go and do that, that would make old man Dan Vesperus very happy. But that will do for today. I am Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.